This is 4:55 on Friday, November 18th. The plan today, then, is to talk about the assignment, the programming project, and then talk about the forking server pattern that you'll use in implementing this. So the overall structure here is that you're going to create an HTTP proxy server, and if you remember, we talked about proxy servers way back in Chapter 2, I think. But now we have all the tools necessary to actually do an implementation of one. We're not going to implement a cache in our proxy server. We're just going to worry about the networking part of how does a client connect to the proxy server, how does the proxy server connect to the real server, and pass the data back and forth between them. That's the goal here. And as part of this, what you're going to do is you're going to print out all the HTTP headers as they go by so that you can see what's happening and sort of study what that's all about. But the more central purpose is to actually do the programming tasks associated with using TCP-based simultaneous client and server technology. Okay? So that's the introduction.
As I make this over like every port or just HTTP?
Just HTTP. Just for HTTP. Doing HTTPS is not really feasible. And doing other things is just sort of more of the same in some sense. More work for less benefit. So it's not a real proxy project, but it will at least get you... I mean, it's not something you would use as a real proxy, but it's got all the programming stuff in it. All right, as I mentioned last time, if you want to do an alternate project, propose something. And I thought about it a little bit more. Implementation of a application, sort of like the proxy project itself. You know, if you want to invent Facebook or Twitter or something like that and go on to billions of dollars, that would be wonderful, but it's not required for this project. You could do an illustration of some aspect of networking. I mentioned simulating the sharing. Yeah. Like you'd like to do it on a phone instead.
Well, I mean, if other devices open up, then I know how to program on like the Xbox, the Android.
Uh huh.
That kind of stuff would be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would. I don't see why not.
Okay.
I have to have some way to evaluate it at some point, but propose something. Yeah. Propose something. Or you could do something sort of more researchy that leads to a paper or a demonstration implementation of something off the wall that nevertheless requires that a substantial amount of the time that you invest go into sort of research as opposed to just implementation. So, as I say, propose something if you want to do this. I'd like to see what you can come up with. Logistics for doing the proxy project, I suggest C, C++, Python, or Java as possibilities. If you want to do it in something else, talk to me. This isn't the only set of possibilities, but these are the ones that I'm willing to see without first talking to you. Particularly in Python, you could probably implement this thing in 30 lines of code if you used the available libraries for handling HTTP and servers and the like. So you can't. You have to do it yourself. That's what I mean by that. Of course, you can use the socket libraries and all that stuff, but if you're going to learn what you need to learn out of this using the libraries. Don't. Okay, what are you going to turn in? I don't know. Your code, of course, a make file if needed to build your code. Output from test cases that show that the thing works. I will ask you to run it on a couple of particular servers at some point. Some of the servers are more challenging than others, so I will let you know those after break, and you just need to report on what happens, and a README file that tells you how to create and run your server. All right, so this is, these are not main things, they're just the practical things needed in order for me to look at and understand your code. Okay, so what does it do? It accepts a connection from a web client. It uses the forking server pattern, which we're going to discuss here in a moment, to handle each request independently. Right? So the idea is the client makes a request. While that request is being processed, another client can make another request, and they can be going on at the same time, using forking server pattern. If you're programming in C and C++, you have to use the wait or wait 3 or wait PID system call to clean up the processes. If you don't do this, you end up with a whole bunch of processes in your process table in so-called zombie state, and that's not nice. So cleaning up is important. That's part of the forking server pattern that we'll talk about. Okay, so once you've started the process for a request, what does it do? It reads the HTTP request from the client. It parses the headers and creates a new socket connecting to the server to which it passes along the request. Now, I'm suggesting that you actually modify the requests in a particular way that will make your life simpler. You don't have to do that, but it does make your life simpler, and we'll talk about that here momentarily. And finally, you read the server's response, pass it back to the client, and again, possibly modify some of the headers to make this other little trick work. Okay? You print out everything that's going by as that. All the header stuff that's going by, so that you can sort of begin to learn what that protocol looks like more. Using Wireshark is a good technique while doing this. It can parse all the headers for HTTP and show you what's going on. So if you use Wireshark on both sides, you can see what is coming in and what is going out, and that's often helpful in debugging. Yeah. Writing Wireshark?
Yeah. But, like, essentially, instead of being inline, it would be something that just kind of spies in on.
Well, yeah. Make me a proposal. Make me a written proposal. The trick is to keep it, the trick with something like that is to keep it to the scale that is actually doable while still doing something interesting. Okay, but I'm happy to entertain a proposal. Okay, I will give you, like I said, some URLs to test it with, and you can tell me what happens. Okay, the header modifications. Remember, we talked about HTTP 1.1 and its ability to do connection keep-alives, which lets you pass multiple requests to the server on one TCP connection. That poses additional problems about knowing the boundaries between things that you don't have if the boundary is always delimited by one party or the other closing the connection. So these header modifications that I'm suggesting are sufficient to essentially go back to having one request per connection, and your proxy server will be easier to implement. If you do that, what do you have to do that? You delete the connection headers, you delete proxy connection headers, and you insert a connection close header. And that tells both parties at both ends that once the request has been fully processed, they can close the connection. They should use a new one for the next request. It makes things slower, but it makes things simpler. And since the class is really about networking rather than string parsing, this may be something you want to do. Remember that the way you find the boundary between the headers and the content, you can look back at the book and see this, but it's a essentially a blank line is always found at the end of the headers, and then comes the actual content. And finally, processing post requests. You need to actually read the exactly right amount of data following the post header, and that is contained in the content hyphen length header. I was working with Ryan Hoffman on a project he was doing for us in the lab, and he was having a terrible time because the browsers would hang sort of at the end of getting the stuff that he was sending from his server, and trying to figure this out. He was sending content length, and everything looked right, but the browsers would hang. And after sort of quite a bit of gnashing around and looking things up, we realized that he was sending a header without the hyphen in it. And therefore, it didn't have a content length header, and therefore it didn't work right. So, anyway, you got to spell these things right, or because, you know, it's not just you, your code that is important here. It's interoperating with the rest of the world. Okay, how to go about it? Do each side first, separately, before you try to put them together. So, write a program that receives HTTP requests, prints them out, and sends back some arbitrary bit of HTML to the client, right? Without ever talking to the server. Okay, get that working. Then write some code to send a request to the server and get the server's response back and print it out or something. Okay. And then get that working, and then put them together. Right? If you try to do both of them at once, you will sort of be lost as to where the problems are. So one thing at a time. My philosophy is get something working and evolve it into, don't debug it, evolve it into something. Well, all right. So evolve it into the specifications, right? Rather than try to write the whole thing and debug it into working. That is kind of a losing strategy when you get to things of this scale. Okay. So I think with what you've already learned about HTTP, the information in the book, and so on and so forth, that the rest of this is straightforward if still substantial. How long does it take? Darn it.
I think
it
was the last part of the
It was. It's just that this thing is scrolling so slowly relative to the keys that it's... Yeah, here we go. It took me...
8 hours?
Took me 10 hours to do the project, but I was sort of developing the project itself at the same time. Took the TA about 8 hours. And it usually takes students in the class about 16 to 20 hours to do this. So it depends on your amount of experience with this kind of programming. I think I was implementing it in Python, actually. So anyway. All right. Any questions about that?
Did you say when it was due?
I didn't. The writing did, but I didn't.
So it's the last day of
classes? Last day of classes before finals week.
Wait, I thought December 9th was finals week. Or was the end of finals week?
Really? No.
Oh, okay.
Wait, when? Well, no. The week we come back from vacation ends on December 2nd. There's another week after that, which is the 9th, and then comes finals week.
Okay.
I hope. Let me look at the calendar. That's better. It says the final is on the 13th. Okay. You scared me for a minute there. Are we one less week of class that I'm prepared for? Right. Okay. Well, so to do this, we need to use the forking server pattern. So you remember that the non-forking server pattern does the socket, the bind, the listen calls, and then does an accept. And once it does the accept, it has a new socket to use in talking to the client. It talks to the client for a while, eventually goes back and closes that socket and goes around and does another accept. So the forking server pattern uses a different process or thread to handle all the client interactions after the accept. So here's what it looks like. And then there's this problem of managing child processes. So the usual thing for a stream socket, nothing different, and I'm not showing any of the error checking now. Remember, always do error checking on all returns from system calls. Okay. So then the real fun starts. So far we haven't done anything different. Here's where things change. Which process, parent or child, are we now in? Child, right? The PID is 0. We start by closing S1, because remember S1 is the socket on which we're doing accepts, and we're not going to do any accepts in the child, and there's no reason to keep it open there. It's just good practice, it's not essential. Notice that I can close the socket I can close the socket here because when I create a child process, it inherits all the descriptors from the parent, but nothing actually bad happens as far as closing the real socket until all of the copies are closed. So that's just good practice there. Okay, when the child finishes, it should close the socket it's been using to talk. That's, again, good practice. And that's it for the child. See in my notes that I left out that else. Interesting. So now we're in the parent. The parent isn't going to ever talk to the client on the client socket obtained from the accept, so it should close it immediately. And then, wait a second. Oh, yeah. It's that. And now this part is called reap the children. As in the Grim Reaper, I guess. One way to do it. I want to look at the man pages.
As soon as WayPID, does that check all child processes?
Yeah. So, wait PID with -1, as the argument says, wait for any child to terminate, and tell me which one it was. Okay? But when you use the no-hang flag, wait, W no-hang. When you use the W no-hang flag, it says, don't actually wait, just check. All right. So, and that's very important here, because notice what happens if you wait. If you wait, you don't ever get around to doing the next accept until the previous one finishes. Okay. So you don't really want to wait, but the wait PID system call is what you use to notice that your children have terminated. Once you notice it, then the system is happy. And you don't actually have to do anything with that dead child. You just have to know. It just wants to make sure you noticed. So that's what that's all about. Notice, and if there is nobody completed, then it will return 0, and you want to go back to accepting. So what happens here is that suppose I fork a child. I come in here. The child is still running, so I get PID is 0, I do the break, I go back and do another accept. Well, while I'm doing the accept, that other child may finish, I'm not going to notice it. Okay, so there's going to be potentially one, there's going to be some delay in my noticing that a child has terminated. But I won't ever get a lot of children that have terminated and I haven't noticed, because every time I create a new one, I gather up the old ones and let them finish.
And that wait PID in your notes, how many times wait?
It said wait PID 3. So let us take a look.
But that wait PID that you have right there written is referring to that same thing.
It's the same thing, yeah. Okay. We have weight, weight PID, and weight ID. So minus one to wait for any child process, W no hang to return immediately. That's what we care about. Wait ID is not interesting. And so what is this? What did I say? What did I say it was? Wait.
Wait three.
Let's check that out. Ah, BSD style. Okay. I'd say use wait PID rather than wait 3. Wait 3 is BSD-ish, as opposed to AT&T-ish version. So either way, okay? But I think wait PID is probably the easier one to use. Okay, so that's the assignment, that's the structure for the code. Oh, I wanted to say so of course in your code now, the thing that goes in here is actually more complicated because this is where you have to connect to the server. Okay. So, although it still follows the general pattern, there's actually going to be a socket call and a connect and all that stuff within there. Now, please separate this off into separate procedures or functions or something. All right. Don't give me one monolithic block of code that does all this stuff. It will drive you nuts in trying to keep track of everything, and it will make it impossible for me to actually read it and understand what's going on. Give it some good names. You know, say, Make this a function that does all of that work. All right. Any questions? Yes? It's already posted,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, the assignment is already posted. I will... these notes are, in fact, also posted as a typed-up thing, so... get that. So with that, it's turkey time. Drive carefully if you're driving. It's nasty out there. Yeah, it stopped, but it's still on the ground. There'll be crazy drivers. Why?
Don't speak too soon. Don't.
Ruin
it for all of us.
Yeah.
I don't leave until Sunday, so.
I might not leave until Wednesday.
Have a good time. See you Monday. Hi, Shane.
I have a question. How do I test my code using a head request? The get and post is pretty simple.
Let's see. How do you test using a head request? I think the browsers actually tend to do that when they've cached something. I don't recall specifically what you have to do it, but I think what's going to happen is you're going to see it happening without doing anything.
Okay. <laughs> That's
my recollection. That's why you have to implement it, because the browsers do make those requests.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
All right. Hi. Maybe a little bit more complicated than I originally intended, but these are all essentially web pages that you would connect to. This thing would also have a web server of some kind,
mm-hmm.
probably just Apache or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it would show hosts. Maybe there would be a home page that didn't have any of these pages on it. But you'd have a list of hosts, either current or archived. I don't know if I'd only do current for the time being. But mm-hmm. all the archived stuff would go into some sort of MySQL database. And then when you click on a host, it would show you like a table or something of all the ports they have open and their current in and out usage,
mm-hmm.
probably in bits or something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I also thought about maybe having a list of all the ports open. You click on a port and list of hosts that are using that port. And
sure.
That
yeah.
was my idea.
Yeah. So there are some web-based sysadmin tools that do something similar to that.
I've seen them in a bunch of things, but me personally, I'm trying to maintain order
uh-huh.
in my home network.
Right.
And it's impossible when people are, you know, not so much that they're not forthcoming, but maybe they just don't know that something's running in the
right.
background.
Right.
Generally some sort of torrenting client
uh-huh.
that just runs constantly.
Right. Right. No, this is fine. I'm just saying that there are some things out there that you could look at as
right.
examples. And also may suggest ways of querying the OS for this kind of information.
True.
Which
I
you
could
will need.
Put it on some sort of client only thing, and then it would let the user know of what things they're doing.
Mm-hmm. But you want it more as a firewall-ish
yeah.
thing.
And my problem is that I can, with my usage of a whole bunch of different router operating systems,
mm-hmm.
I've kind of come to realize that you can either have bandwidth monitoring and all sorts of logging capabilities, or you can have traffic shaping and all sorts of actually useful tools.
Uh-huh.
But you can't have both. For some reason, they don't come together.
Interesting.
For
okay. Well, so there's going to be some research associated with this, as well as
yeah.
as well as implementation, because you're going to have to figure out how you're going to get this kind of information out of whatever platform you're on.
Yeah. Well, I guess what I'd want to do is load it into one of the firewall distributions that I have,
uh-huh.
and run it straight out of there.
Yeah.
Almost all the tools are already built in.
Right.
I would just have to monitor ports.
Mm-hmm.
But the other option would be to have it sit outside and just monitor traffic as it goes by. But as far as I know, that wouldn't work with like switches, because they won't send
right.
the information over to
right.
you. So, yeah, I guess I'd have to do a fair bit of research
mm-hmm.
as far as the router goes.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would definitely like to see some sort of this implementation, even if only the current portion, not including
the archive yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, sure. No, it will give you a start on, you know.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you may want the archive stuff, but that may be more than you want to take on for the class project.
The project, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But that works?
That works, yeah.
All right.
It'll be fun.
I'm
for you.
Probably going to give it a good portion of this week, and if it doesn't work in the first part of this week, then I might go
back and yeah,
because
Yeah.
It could be dead ass
sales. Exactly. I mean, until you do that preliminary research, you don't really know what the full implementation scope is.
Yeah.
How big a hole you're well, diving into.
I found a module that might do some of this, but I imagine I'm not allowed to use it.
Well, tell me about it in your proposal. Right.
I haven't even really looked at it. I tried to look up packet sniffing and stuff. It just about everything was directing me at this module.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so no, that may be what you need, and tell me, just disclose what the
okay.